Welcome him. Go ahead and open up to John 10, the passage they just read. Let me get there too. We are in week 4 of a series called He Is, walking through the 7 I Am statements in the Gospel of John. In each statement, Jesus basically is saying two things. So the easy way to kind of think about it, two things. He says, I am God, and here is how I meet your greatest need. Two simple things. To those who are spiritually hungry, he said, I am the bread of life. To those who feel that the darkness is all around them, he says, I am the light of the world. To those who seek salvation and to get into the household of God, he says, I am the door. I'm the only door. Today in the 4th I Am statement, here's who he's talking to. If you feel alone, abandoned, anxious, unknown, unloved, or unsafe, if that's you, today he says to you, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Jesus makes a statement in the middle of a conversation that he has been having with the Pharisees since chapter 9. And basically he's been railing on the religious elite because they're blind. He's told them, hey, you're blind. He's told them that they're thieves and robbers who try to steal the kingdom of God through works and law keeping. Thieves and robbers. And so today he continues railing on the Pharisees in verses 11 through 18 by telling them, hey, you're also bad shepherds, but I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. He says it twice, in fact, which he says many of the I am statements twice to reiterate the importance of it. The Greek word for good here is important. It's the word kalos, and it means more than just the opposite of bad. This word also is translated as beautiful in the English. So when Jesus is making the statement, he says, I am the good shepherd, I am the beautiful shepherd. I'm the beautiful shepherd. And before we jump into the kind of the wonder of this statement, I think it's probably important. Again, these are all metaphorical statements. All the 7 I am statements are metaphorical. I think it's important for us to see and state the obvious of who we are in this metaphor. We are the sheep. Okay? Out of all of the animals in the animal kingdom, of all of them, God says that we are most like sheep. Not lions, not tigers or leopards or bears or beautiful, cuddly pandas. I mean, he doesn't say, you kind of remind me of this. No. Out of all the animals in the animal kingdom, he says, you're like sheep. So technically, everyone's spirit animal is a sheep. By the way, there's no such thing as a spirit animal, but if there was, we're all sheep, all right? And you don't have to be a zoologist to know that sheep, out of all the animals, got the short end of the stick. If you do a little study, you'll quickly find out that sheep are extremely limited in intelligence. Some say dumb. They are clumsy. They are prone to wander, to get lost. They can't feed themselves. They're fearful. They're timid. They're also stubborn and they bite. And they're also animals of prey, meaning they are the food for predators. So a shepherd alone a sheep alone out in the wilderness is basically a happy meal for a wolf. That's all they can do. And the worst part about it is they're defenseless. They got nothing. I mean, they didn't get the skunk spray. They didn't get the big teeth of a lion. They got nothing. They can't do anything. They are totally and utterly dependent on a shepherd for their survival. That's who they are. They're desperate for a shepherd. And so that's what God says we are. We are sheep. It's not really impressive, is it? I mean, it doesn't make us look really good. And it doesn't matter how strong we are or we think we are. It doesn't matter how smart we think we are. It doesn't matter how athletic we think we are or intelligent we think we are. God says, when it comes to the things of life that truly matter, we're just sheep. Isaiah says, we all are like sheep, have all gone astray. We are sheep without a shepherd. We too are desperate and totally dependent on a shepherd, and not just any shepherd, the good shepherd. The good shepherd. So if you're desperate for a shepherd, this is the good news of the statement today. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, time would fail me to tell you of the 10 million ways that Jesus is good. So I want to try to do it in three ways today. First one is this. The good shepherd protects. Protects. Look at John 10, 11 through 13 again. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Again, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And he's basically saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm not like you guys. You guys are bad, bad shepherds. You guys are the same bad shepherds that God condemned back in Ezekiel 34. I don't have time to go back and unpack. That might be some homework for you. But back in 600 BC, God had appointed shepherds for Israel to guard them, protect their people. And God just goes on and just rails on them. And like he lists 10 things of why they are bad shepherds. So in Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees, he's kind of got that Ezekiel 34 thing back in the mind. And he's accusing these Pharisees of the same thing in Ezekiel 34. So what does he tell them? What is he saying to them indirectly? He says, you're just a bunch of hired hands. You're just a bunch of professional shepherds. It's just a job for you. You don't really love the sheep. You use the sheep, but you don't love the sheep. You don't feed the sheep. You feed off of the sheep. You take their wool. You pull everything out of them, but you don't feed them. You don't shield, you don't protect them. When they go lost and they're wandering, you don't go out looking for them. You're about self-preservation. And when the wolf comes, Pharisees, when the wolf comes, here's what you do. You don't care about the sheep. You flee for your own life. When you're in danger, you leave, you abandon the sheep, you don't protect them, and then they all scatter, and then the wolf just gets them. That's what he's saying to these guys. You don't care about the sheep. You're worthless, blind guides, and bad shepherds. That's what he says to the Pharisees. Sadly, this is also true of many pastor shepherds today. You might have experienced that in your churchmanship at course of the years you've been a Christian. where you've encountered a church that has a shepherd where it's just a hired hand, they're just hired hands. It's just a job for them. It's a paycheck. It's a stepping stone on to bigger and better things, bigger platforms and all that stuff. It's just a job. They're just hired hands. They really don't care for the sheep in their congregations. The sheep are in the congregation, the flock, and they're starving for the word of God. It's what you do. You're supposed to feed the sheep. They're starving. But those bad shepherds, they don't feed the sheep. They feed off of the sheep. Hey, sell a bunch of money. God will make you healthy and wealthy. Give me a lot of cash, and then I go get really fat and happy off all your money. That's what a lot of bad shepherds do. They don't feed the sheep. They feed off of the sheep. They don't protect the sheep against false teaching. A lot of false teaching out there. A lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. But they don't care. They don't tell anybody to stay away from this person or stay away from that person. They don't care. They're bad, bad shepherds. Some of you have suffered under some of that kind of leadership. I would say this. I can't imagine what that's like. This is the only church I've ever known, and I've sat under some good shepherds. But that's a real thing, and I don't take that lightly. I would say I'm thankful that you haven't given up on the office of shepherd yet. But the reality is there are bad shepherds out there. And Jesus is talking about that kind of shepherd. And he says this to the Pharisees, again, I'm nothing like you. I care for my sheep. I am no hired hand. This is not a job for me. I love my sheep. I care about my sheep. I protect my sheep. Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known psalm of all. And it depicts, of course, the Lord as the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It paints this awesome picture of how Jesus is a shepherd who leads us to green pastures by still waters. He restores my soul. He provides refreshment and nourishment for us. He gives us his rod and his staff as a symbol of his protection and guidance. The Lord is the good shepherd who protects. Don't miss this part though, because this is the greatest part of his protection. Jesus said, when the wolf of Satan, sin, and death come to devour the sheep, he says, I don't leave the sheep. I lay down my life for sheep. I don't flee. I fight to the very death for my sheep. Look at John 10, 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus is saying that I voluntarily laid my life down for the sheep. I laid down over the door. It was me. I wasn't made to lie down by the Roman soldiers. I wasn't forced to lie down by Pharisees or Pilate, or I wasn't lying down as a result of Judas's betrayal. I voluntarily laid my own life down by my accord. Why? So that he could take up his life again. That statement, I will lay down my life so I can take it up again. What a bold claim that is. You know that many people throughout human history have said, I will lay down my life. A lot of people have said that, and a lot of people have done that too. A lot of honorable people in our military, they've actually done it. They've laid down their life, and for that sake, they are honored. But here's the deal. There's only been one person in human history that said, I'm going to lay down my life, but I'm going to pick it back up again. He's the only one that has the authority to take up his own life again and be resurrected. So when we read a passage like that, here's what we have to ask ourselves. Either Jesus is insane and we should all leave right now, or he's God and he is worthy of everything in our lives. You know, of course, the answer to that. We believe around here, we believe that he is God in the flesh. He laid his life down and he took it back up. He is our good shepherd. He protects us. The Bible describes him as a watchman or a sleepless guardian. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he never sleeps, he never slumbers. He's constantly guarding us and protecting us. He is before us. He is behind us. He is beside us. He's above us. He's beneath us. He is all around us. He is within us. And he is against anyone who is against us. That's how safe we are under the protection of the good shepherd who is Jesus Christ. That's how safe we are. The second way that he is good is that the good shepherd is personal. The good shepherd is personal. Look with me at verses 14 through 15. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus wants to show us something here and teach us that he doesn't look out at the church as a whole and just kind of look at us as this big, impersonal, formless blob of people. Like, he doesn't just look at a crowd of people and says, yeah, those are all my sheep. He wants us to know that when he looks at his sheep, he knows every single one of us by name. That this personal relationship between shepherd and sheep is so personal, it's so deep, and it's so intimate that he describes it as the same intimacy that the Father has with the Son. And I'd say the Father and the Son are pretty tight. That's how tight you are in Jesus. That's how tight you are if you are his sheep. He is a personal, personal shepherd, and he knows every single one of us by name. By name. He knows his own, and his own know him. That's what he says here. I know my own, and my own know me. He knows his own. Like I said, he knows his own. Their names, out of all the people in the world, the masses and billions of people, he knows out of all those people who are his sheep. He knows his own, intimately and individually. About I don't know, 15 years ago, my wife Callie went on her first mission trip to Mexico. We were just members at Life Point, and the reality is my wife was out in front doing a lot of things before I was. And so she decides to take this trip to Mexico, and for 10 days, we had four kids, and I was like, what the heck? What am I going to do about this? You're going for 10 days? Like I'm processing all that, and like, ugh, I've never been away from her for that long, and I've got the kids, and I'm trying to job, and all this. I'm thinking, those are a long 10 days, y'all. That was a long 10 days. A funny story is when that happened, some ladies, I can't even remember who it was, but they got together and they did a meal train for me while she was gone. That was a meal train, like I had a baby or something. But she was ticked about that. She was like, I'm getting all this food. Anyway, it was a long 10 days. But here's what I remember about that. I knew the day, of course, that she was coming back, and I got to the B&A airport early that day. I mean, I was like, yes, coming home. And so if you've been to the airport, you know how that works. You're picking someone up from the airport and they're arriving, and you stand in that concourse and you can't cross like the security wall. So you're just waiting there. You're standing there and just waiting for your person. And so I'm doing that and I'm looking out. There's just, you know, just tons of people walking down the concourse, and I'm just watching and watching and waiting to see my wife. And so it goes on and on and on. And then finally, out of all the masses of the people walking through the airport, I see my wife. I see her. I recognize her. My face lit up. I delighted in her. She was the only one that I embraced out of all those people. Why? Because I know my own. I know my own wife. That's how Jesus looks at us as his sheep. Intimately, individually, he looks at us out of all the people in the world and says, no, these people are my sheep. This is my sheep. And I know that one by name, and he lights up. He delights in his sheep. Why? Because he knows his own. He knows his own. Like a husband waiting for his wife at the airport. Look at 2 Timothy 2:19. But God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. You see, when you slow down and read a passage like that, God is not pacing heaven right now and saying, I don't know who my people are. I don't know who's going to believe. I don't know who are my sheep yet. I can't figure this thing out yet. I really hope they want me to be their shepherd. I don't know yet. God's not pacing around. He knows his sheep before the foundation of the world. He knows his own. He knows those who are his. Also, his own know him. That's what it says here in the text. John 10, verse 3, 27, a couple of different places, it talks about his own sheep, who they hear him. They recognize his voice. They listen to his voice. And they obey his voice. So he's like, hey, this is how you know if you're one of my sheep. That's what you do. You hear my voice. You recognize my voice. You listen to my voice. And then you obey my voice. That's how you know if you're one of his sheep or not. You hear his voice through the word, of course. I'm not talking about audibly. Through it, you hear it, and you're like, he's talking to me. You hear it. You love his voice. You listen to it. Meaning, like, when you have major decisions to make in your life and how you live your life, you don't listen to you. You don't listen to your own heart. Some of you need to stop preaching to your heart. You need to stop listening to your heart. You listen to the shepherd. And then when you hear the shepherd speak, you obey the shepherd. That's how you know if you are one of his sheep. Again, if all you've done is pray a prayer and been baptized and go to church, but you don't listen and you don't obey the shepherd, the reality is you're following an imaginary Jesus. Or you're in some serious and dangerous sin in your life. One of the two. His sheep know him. Do you know him, and are you listening and obeying the voice of the sheep? What is the shepherd telling you to do? Let me put it that way for just a moment. Is there something in your life right now the shepherd's telling you to do something? Be baptized. Profess your faith publicly. Join the church. Start serving, giving to the mission of God of rescuing more sheep. Is he telling you to treat your spouse better? Husband, to lead your wife. Wives, to follow your husband. What's the shepherd telling you to do? Prove to him that you are his sheep by listening to his voice and obeying his voice. Every command of Jesus is meant to secure a greater good. The last one is this. The good shepherd pursues. The good shepherd pursues. Look at verse 16 with me. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Let me repeat that. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This verse is enormously important in us understanding the relationship between evangelism and the sovereignty of God in salvation. It's enormously important. It deserves a sermon by itself, but let me say a few things. Often we think that Jesus just kind of came to the earth to do his part. You know, the living, the dying, the raising to life. That's the Jesus part. And then our part is just to sit back and just kind of wait. Or Jesus does his part and then sits back and passively waits for people like us to invite him into our heart. That Jesus just sits back and says, well, I did my part. I'll just sit back here and wait and see who's going to come to me and not. Like, if they believe in me, then I'll make them a sheep. That's what I used to believe until the Bible proved me wrong. The Bible says that we are all fugitives on the run from God, not seeking God. No, not one of us. But then Jesus, acting as a good highway patrol officer, I'll say it like that, where he has this ferocious pursuit of his sheep from the foundation of the world, before the world was even created. Jesus knew who his sheep were, who the Father had given to him, and that he was going to ferociously pursue them all of his life. Let me tell you where that started. Again, Revelation 13 and 21 says that before the world was created, there was a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in that book contained the names of all of Jesus' sheep. Before they had done anything good or bad, there was a book. And all their names are in it. And these are all the sheep that the Father gave to Jesus. The Father was like, here's a list. Here's all the sheep. Jesus, now go get them. Jesus comes to the earth. His mission on the earth in his living and his dying and raising to life is to bring the sheep. He says he must bring the sheep. When he comes, he's not begging the sheep to believe in him. Again, what it says is he comes and he calls them and they will listen to his voice. Not they might, not that they maybe. I hope that they listen to my voice. No, he says they will. Why will they? Because God commands his people to believe. And they believe. Once Jesus calls on them, yeah, they're like, yeah, I want him. But if you've called on Jesus in your life, it's because he called on you first. This is the ferocious pursuit of Jesus for his sheep. And there's nothing that will keep him from gathering up his flock. Nothing. There's no place he won't go. There's no thing he will not do. And nothing will stop him from leaving the 99 to rescue all the sheep. You can't stop it. The devil can't even stop it. It is that secure. And once he calls the sheep, they come. He hears the voice. They come to him. And then right there, that pursuit doesn't end. Jesus doesn't say, okay, I called you, pursuit. I did my part. Now it's up to you. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to start calling more sheep. No, that pursuit doesn't end right there. That pursuit begins even more ferociously and continues all the days of your life. Surely goodness, surely mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's Jesus as the good highway patrol, chasing us down with goodness and mercy every time we fall down, because he is hell-bent on making sure that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and he's going to get us there. That's how good the shepherd pursues us. If you believe, and you are the sheep, you're a part of the other sheep in this passage here. He says, I have other sheep, they're not of this fold. That's us. So congratulations, you're in the Bible. You made it in, right? He has other sheep. And so if you believe, you are a part of the other sheep. But here's, I think, more importantly, the application here. There are still other sheep out there. There are still other sheep out there that are not yet in the fold. How do you know? How do we know that there's other sheep? Because Jesus ain't come back yet, that's how. When the last sheep is called, that's when Jesus comes back. There are other sheep out there still in the fold. And get this, he uses this language, it's not me. He says, he must bring them also. He says, I must do this. And he will. And how does he do it? How does he bring his sheep into the fold? How does he call his sheep? Well, this is the awesome, humbling part that we get to play. Out of all the ways he would call his sheep, he says, hey, I'm going to use more sheep. I'm going to use those sheep that, they don't have a lot of redeeming qualities. I'm going to use them. And I'm going to use them to preach the gospel message, the message of the shepherd, to preach the gospel. I'm going to use that as the call. What a glorious, glorious, humbling thing that is, that God would use us to preach a gospel that would gather up all of his sheep on the earth. You know, a church that stops caring about the other sheep and only cares about orthodoxy and liturgy and a doctrine, only cares about those things. Those aren't bad things, by the way. But a church that doesn't care about the other sheep will not be a church for long. We have to care about the other sheep because Jesus cares about the other sheep. This is a great, easy connection here with Easter coming up. You know, it's one thing for us to get up and in the middle of announcements and say, hey, on the way out today, grab some invite cards for Easter. Here's our service times. Post it on Instagram. Take a yard sign. Stick it in your yard. There's one way to say that, and it's not wrong to say those things. But then there's an entirely different way to see it and say, hey, there's a lot of pasture out there. And out there, there are some people that are Jesus' sheep. They're out there. They're sheep without a shepherd. We don't know who they are, but our responsibility is to invite them to preach the gospel message to them so that they may hear the shepherd's voice, that the other sheep are rescued and brought into the fold. That's a different way of looking at inviting someone to Easter than sticking out a card on their desk or a yard sign, isn't it? Like that don't move me. That's those things we have to do. But what moves me is that God invites me into playing a part in the calling of his sheep. That's awesome. And so what a great opportunity for you to do that coming up soon. Who would be here on Easter Sunday because of you? That's a kind of a little bit of a challenge there, that you would bring someone with you on Easter Sunday because you don't know who is the sheep and God might call them that day to himself. Great opportunity for us to do that. Here's how we're going to respond today. I think of a few different ways. Number one, we all need a shepherd and we all need the good shepherd. Without the good shepherd, we're all in grave danger, prone to wander, to get lost, unable to live this life with any direction, don't know where we're going, don't know how we get there. We do what's right in our own eyes. And our souls are in grave danger without a shepherd. And so if you are someone who would acknowledge that, the question is, you've heard the call of Jesus today. I've preached the gospel message today. Are you someone who is hearing the voice of Jesus? I don't mean audibly. I mean, it's the tug. It's the inner feeling that's like this magnet. That something's happening and you don't know what it is, but it's like pulling you to something and you're scared. You don't want to walk away from this, but something is so powerful and it's pulling me to him. That is the call of Jesus to his sheep. If you're hearing that today, do not harden your heart. Come to the shepherd. He's good. He's not trying to steal your life or steal your joy. He is the one who gives abundant life, eternal life. Come to the shepherd today. Another response is here. We also all need a good earthly shepherd. God has ordained a position in the church called pastor / elder / overseer / shepherd. And that person has been appointed by God to mirror the way that Jesus cares for his sheep and his flock. That's what a pastor is supposed to do. Pastor's not someone who has this great entrepreneurial spirit, who can put a lot of butts in the seats in churches and build budgets and great buildings. That is not what a shepherd is supposed to do. An earthly shepherd is supposed to care for the flock, to love the flock, to know the sheep by name, to feed them the word of God. Not just feed off of them, but give them the word of God. Nourish them. Cherish the sheep. The shepherd is supposed to correct the sheep. It's one of the things that we do is sometimes we do some correction. Well, it's because we love. We love the sheep. It's one of the things that we're called to do. We're supposed to care and correct the sheep. We're also supposed to protect the sheep. When there's a lot of false, heretical teaching out there, my job is to point it out to you. When there's some crazy, heretical guy taking his jacket off and slaying people in the spirit, or some crazy lady doing the same thing, calling herself a pastor, I'm supposed to say, watch out for that wolf. Protect. That's my job. I'm supposed to do that. And I don't do it perfectly. No earthly shepherd does. But I pray that God helps me become a better shepherd while I'm on the earth and I'm in charge of the care of his sheep. If you're a member here, thank you for letting me do that. I do not take that lightly at all. But I do care, I do love, and I'm trying to be better, be a better shepherd here. If you're someone who is a believer and you're like, I'm a sheep, do you have a shepherd? You know, just showing up here on Sunday to hear a message that's being preached, that's not having a shepherd. I want you to know there's a difference. That's a sermon, and you can get that online anywhere you go. Do you have a shepherd? Someone who's doing all of those things for you? Man, if you don't, and you're like, I need one, that's what our membership process is. That's what going to First Steps is, taking a step. I want a shepherd. I need a shepherd. Tell me about you. I want to find out if you can be my shepherd. That's what happens in those things. I get to sit down and say, hey, these are the things I'm going to do as your shepherd. Are we good? You know, we kind of figured that out. But every sheep needs a shepherd. And if it's not me and I'm too loud and fiery, that's okay. Go find, but you need to find some shepherd. Don't wander out there in the wilderness without a shepherd. It's dangerous out there. Find a good shepherd, an earthly shepherd who will mirror the shepherd, the good shepherd that Jesus is. The last thing is this. We've talked about how today the good shepherd protects, how the good shepherd is personal, the good shepherd pursues. The last thing is this, that the good shepherd provides a sacrifice. This actually is probably the greatest demonstration of his shepherding of the sheep, that he loved us so much that he was willing to lay his life down on the cross to be a substitute for sinners, to sacrifice himself so that we would not absorb the wrath of God. I think it's been said that here you have the good shepherd became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's a crazy, crazy imagery there to think about that, but that's what Jesus actually did for us. And so we're going to celebrate that sacrifice through the Lord's Supper today. So if you're a deacon and you're serving the Lord's Supper today, would you go ahead and come on up? And so here's kind of how we're going to do this today. If you are here and you are a believer and you are someone who says, yes, I am one of his sheep. He knows me, I know him, and you have confidence in that. This meal is for you, right? We come together to remember what Christ did by providing a sacrifice. If you're not yet a believer or you're unsure, this is not yet for you. And so we would ask that you would withhold for this until you are absolutely convinced of what you believe to be true. We're going to pass out the elements and you do some examination where you are. Let your thoughts take you to places of what the things that the shepherd has done for you in your life by providing a sacrifice for you. And hold on to those elements. Don't take them yet. And then Benji is going to lead us through a song. And then I'm going to come back up at the very end. And we'll take the elements together and then dismiss.